This is Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. On February 19, 1942, President Franklin Roosevelt signed Executive Order 9066, which forcibly removed Japanese American citizens from their homes and farms on the West Coast and placed them in internment camps for years. Many of the families that were rounded up and sent to the camps came from the San Joaquin Valley. Over four decades later, President Ronald Reagan described it like this.
We gather here today to right a grave wrong. More than 40 years ago, shortly after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, 120,000 persons of Japanese ancestry living in the United States were forcibly removed from their homes and placed in makeshift internment camps. This action was taken without trial, without jury. It was based solely on race, for these 120,000 were Americans of Japanese descent. Yes, the nation was then at war, struggling for its survival, and it's not for us today to pass judgment upon those who may have made mistakes while engaged in that great struggle. Yet we must recognize that the internment of Japanese Americans was just that, a mistake. For throughout the war, Japanese Americans in the tens of thousands remained utterly loyal to the United States.
Now the local Japanese community is marking the 75th anniversary of the order with ceremonies and a new exhibit at Fresno State. Joining us to tell us more is Fresno County Superior Court Judge Dale Ikeda, who is a member of the Japanese American Citizens League Central California District Council. Judge Ikeda, welcome.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for having me on your program.
I want to start out, before we talk about the national significance, before we talk about the events, your family has a story that dates to this time period as well. Tell me about what happened to your family during that time in the internment.
Well, I might not be here, but for the internment, my father grew up in Clovis. My mother was in West Fresno. And one of the consequences of the executive order was a travel restriction and curfew. So my dad had to have a Caucasian friend take him to West Fresno so he could see my mom. And then when the internment order came out for Fresno Japanese Americans to report to the Fresno Fairgrounds, my parents were married, and my dad decided that to keep the families together, they would report together to the Fresno Assembly Center, where they were interned for several months before going to a more permanent camp, the Jerome War Relocation Center in Arkansas.
Now, we have a lot of newer residents in the San Joaquin Valley who maybe aren't familiar with the history, and also younger listeners as well. The Fresno Center was also matched by a center in Pinedale. Tell me a little more about what happened here locally and where local people went. How did it work?
The folks who were interned at the Pinedale Assembly Center actually came from Washington, Oregon, and Sacramento County. There were over 4,800 folks interned there. You can imagine coming from mild or cool climates and arriving in Pinedale. The camp there was open from May through July 1942. And I had an uncle, Jack Hata, describe that as arriving in hell. It was so hot. And his train trip was on his birthday, actually.
What was the reaction like, both in the Japanese-American community and the U.S. public at large in 1942 when President Roosevelt issued this order? Did civil liberties groups raise concerns at that time? What was the immediate response? This is obviously a little over 2 months after Pearl Harbor. What was the response at that time?
Well, the immediate response was one of apprehension. It was not only a blow to America, injecting America formally into World War II, but now Japanese Americans, 70% born here in the United States, were fearful as to the consequences. The Fresno Bee had an interesting story about my aunt, who was going to Clovis High School. She was a senior. And she got on the school bus not knowing what to expect from her fellow students. And Frank Mesplay, the student body president, sat next to her, put his hand on hers and reassured her. And there were a lot of communities that were very supportive of the Japanese American community, including Clovis Unified School District and the mayor and others who came out in support of Japanese Americans in a letter saying, "We're sorry this is happening, but when it's over, we hope you will return." Of course, the sad side of the story is that there was really mass hysteria, misinformation about possible espionage and sabotage. And the executive order says that military commanders could issue orders to exclude any and all persons from certain military zones. General John L. DeWitt, who was the commander of the Western Defense Command, used that as the basis to not only exclude Japanese Americans entirely from the West Coast, but also intern them for several years in the desolate areas inland.
And at the same time as this is happening, you have Japanese Americans who are volunteering for the armed forces and serving with great valor.
Well, that's true, although that was a little later in the story. My uncle, for example, was already in the Army at the time of the attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. And he remained in the Army. His commander said he should be treated the same as any other soldiers. Some others were not as fortunate. They were confined to barracks under guard when President Roosevelt was in the area. Shortly after the attack on Pearl Harbor, all military-aged Japanese Americans were reclassified 4C. Enemy alien, ineligible for the draft. It was only later that there was a small group created the 100th Battalion out of Hawaii, and that group fought with distinction in Italy. And then, as you know, in Hawaii, there were not a mass roundup, although there were a few isolated internment centers. Later, the 442nd Regimental Combat Team was created, as well as the Military Intelligence Service. And the 442 fought in Europe. The Military Intelligence Service officers served as interpreters in the Pacific in separate units.
And became one of the most decorated, if not the most decorated, unit in the armed forces.
It's often cited as the most decorated unit in American military history for its size and length of service.
Turning to the present day, how do you think this bit of America's history, a dark chapter in American history, informs the present conversation?
Well, the Japanese American Citizens League is the oldest and largest civil rights organization in America. And the day after the terrorist attack on September 11, 2001, the very next day, the JACL issued a press release that we should not take this chapter out on the Arab and Muslim Americans and not repeat the mistakes of the past. So JACL has for a long time, along with other groups, tried to educate the public. That was one of the main reasons of its support for the Civil Liberties Act of 1988, which resulted in a presidential apology and token monetary payments for those who were interned. And that goes back to that segment you were referring to. More recently, there have been issues raised about immigration and whether we should embrace our immigrants and embrace our history as a nation of immigrants, and JCL and other groups have come out in support of of immigrant groups. I understand that the last year we had 6 Nobel laureates. They were all immigrants. And I heard a figure that recently over half of the engineers that we have are coming from other countries. So immigrant populations and their diversity is a strength.
Before we go, an exhibit at Fresno State marks the 75th anniversary. It's at the Henry Madden Library. Tell me about that and what's opening up later this month to mark the occasion.
Fresno State is sponsoring this program through Madden Library. JCL has been proud to be a supporter and co-sponsor of some of the activities there. Starting next week, there will be an exhibit on the second floor of the Madden Library, open to the public, no cost, and there'll be 2 traveling exhibits as well as local artifacts and stories. So I encourage folks to go to the Ellipse, the gallery on the second floor, and view that. I think it'll be very interesting.
It's very much a story that relates to the present day and very much a local story as well, as so many of those families came from the Valley and so many of them are still here today. Again, Fresno County Superior Court Judge Dale Ikeda, a member of the Japanese American Citizens League Central California District Council. Thank you so much for joining us today, Your Honor.
Thank you for having me.